Today we're August 4th, Sunday, and this is under Operation Outreach, our playlist on the YouTube channel, and of course we're doing social media. Of course, obviously we're live streaming on Facebook, and we're making also this for YouTube, and Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and of course we don't despise small beginnings. Actually, today we're in just on the outskirts of Newmarket, Ontario, Canada. We're actually on the Don Valley Parkway, 404 actually. And so that's our pre-introduction. So Newmarket, population back in 2016, roughly 85,000 people. Not a big place. Nice place. It's a town. It's not a city. It's a town. But regional seat of the regional municipality of York in the Canadian province of Ontario. We're about an hour drive here from Oshawa. Towards going back that way, it's Toronto. Oshawa is east from here. It's part of the Greater Toronto Area, GTA, of course, and the Gold Shoe, the Golden Horseshoe Valley, which is a region of Southern Ontario. We're in Southern Ontario. So, interesting concerning Newmarket, early settlement. Some of the United States Quakers, the Quakers, were interested in moving northward, disturbed by the violence they were experiencing or expected to take part during the American Revolution. So in June 1800, Timothy Rogers, a Quaker from Vermont, the state of Vermont, explored the area around the Holland River, which is not too far from here, to find a suitable location for a new Quaker settlement. So he and Samuel Lundy and their group of the Religious Society of Friends, which is still around today, but nowhere near what they used to be years ago, received a grant of a large amount of land, and that's where they settled. So let's move on here to the key topic today. I just want to say we just came from Richmond Hill. We did our teaching over there in Richmond Hill. So we're doing two teachings today. And these are the last two we're going to be doing for quite a while concerning cities in Southern Ontario. So today the key topic is God's sovereignty and man's free will. Very interesting. My introduction today is this theme, which is Old Testament and New Testament alike, has caused all kinds of unnecessary controversies, not necessary, but unnecessary controversies, as well as division within the church itself. Within the church itself, over the centuries, right up until this very day. So this teaching today is a very short, brief teaching compared to what I'll be teaching on in the coming months and years concerning this topic. And the first thing that we need to look at, we're not really going to cover this today, but I just want to make a note of this, some of the things we need to look at when we teach on God's sovereignty is what the Word has to say about the whole Bible, not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament alike, is full of strong admonitions, alerts, cautions, commandments, commands, conditions, like conditional clauses, exhortations, forewarnings, imperatives, ultimatums, wake-up calls, and warnings. Also, the need to sow the word, the need of persevering faith, the need to walk by faith and not by sight, the need to put on the old man, put on the new man, and the need to renew our minds, pulling down strongholds. These are just some of the things that the Bible talks about. So all of these, all of what I just mentioned right now, totally contradicts the prevalent teaching that God is in control. If God is in control, which He's not, I wish He was. If God was in control, God wouldn't be warning us. God wouldn't be telling us certain things that we need to be doing. There wouldn't be no imperatives. We wouldn't have to put off the old man, put on the new man, because God be doing everything. We wouldn't have to walk by faith. We could just walk by sight, because God's in control. No, it's when you walk by faith that God's in control, because faith puts God to work, right? That's another teaching. So let's start here. The Old Testament. This is the main body of teaching. Some of the key words that we're going to look at today, real briefly, is the word if, the word you, the word given, whosoever, but, then, do not, watch, be, and so many more. So many more. Most people don't even catch these little words in the Bible. But they open up this whole realm of man's free moral agency. So, Old Testament references before we move into the New Testament. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And let them, see that, from us to them. Puts responsibility upon man. We're going to look into this. Let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts, over all the earth, over all the earth. Let them, not us, them. And over everything that creeps upon the earth. Puts ownership on man, not God, on man. Genesis 2:15-17. Verse 15, and the Lord took the man, put him in the garden to tend and guard and keep it. The man, not God, man is supposed to guard the garden. Verse 16, and the Lord commanded the man. Commanded. Not a suggestion, commandment, saying, you, who? Man, not God, man, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden. Verse 17, but, always a but, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and blessing and calamity, you, man, shall not eat of it, for the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. See that? Three times, you. Man. All right. Genesis 3:11. God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat of? Where's God's sovereignty in this? There is none. You know, I'll keep reading. I'll throw this in after. Verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, puts the blame on the serpent. You're cursed above all animals. I'll skip a few things here. Let's go down to 17. And to Adam. God said, because you have listened and given heed to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. The ground is under a curse because of you, man. In sorrow and toil shall you eat of the fruits of it all the days of your life. Genesis 6:12-13. God looked upon the world and saw how degenerate, debased, and vicious it was. For all humanity had corrupted their way upon the earth and lost their true direction. Humanity, mankind, man, not God, man. Verse 13, God said to Noah, I intend to make an end of all flesh, for through men for men. Mankind, the land is filled with violence, and behold, I will destroy them and the land. Yeah, so man, not God. Where's God's sovereignty in this? There is none. Deuteronomy 28:1. Now it shall come to pass if, conditional, you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, then the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Where's God's sovereignty in that? You need to read all of Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 to verse 68. You have to read the whole thing. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But you, Joshua, shall meditate on it day and night, for you may observe it and do according to all that is written in it, for then and then alone and then only you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall deal wisely and have good success. But if you don't do the former part, you will not have the latter part. Okay, it's back to sowing and reaping. Where's God's sovereignty in sowing and reaping? So I sow bad seed, I get a bad harvest, but God's in control of that? God is sovereign over that? Meaning God had me sow bad seed? No, it's your choice. There's good and bad and evil. There's evil and good out there. There's right and wrong, black and white. I've touched on this before. We got people out there that say God ordained Adam to fall. God ordained Adam to fall, meaning God ordained Lucifer to fall. Meaning God ordains everything that is bad out there. How ridiculous can you get? What kind of God is that? Not the God of the Holy Bible. Psalms. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly. So what happens if he lives in the counsel of the godly? He's not blessed. Nor stands in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down where the scornful gather. See, you're blessed if you don't walk according to the ways of the world. 2, verse 2, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. He habitually meditates by day and by night. Verse 3, and then, see, conditional, he shall be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season, and everything he does shall prosper. Verse 3 is based upon verse 1 and verse 2. You do verse 1 and verse 2, you'll reap the benefits of verse 3. And if you don't do verse 1 and verse 2, forget about verse 3. Forget it. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. My son or my daughter, attend to my words. God speaking here. Yeah, attend to God's words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Meaning there's other sayings out there to submit to. There's other words you can consent to, that you can attend to. But God said, no, don't attend to their words, but attend to my words. Verse 22, why? Verse 21, let them not depart from your sight, your eyeballs. Keep your eyeballs on my word. Keep them in the center of your heart. See, these are commandments in the Hebrew. Verse 22, why? Why, God? For their life, not death, life. To those who find them, to those who find them. What happens if you don't find God's word? It won't benefit you. Healing and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep and guard your heart. You do that. God's not going to do it for you. Don't ask God to guard your heart. That's up to you. It's your responsibility. So where's God's sovereignty in that? No. With all vigilance, not just keep and guard it. He said with all vigilance. And above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. These are just a couple verses in the Old Testament. Now let's move on into the New Testament. Let's move on into Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 13:58. And Jesus did not do many works of power there. Why? Why, Jesus? You having a bad day, Jesus? You tired? You feel weak? You feel far away from God? God's power's not in you? No, it says because of their unbelief. Whose unbelief? Man. Matthew 16:19. Jesus said this, and I give you, see, Jesus gives us the keys of the kingdom. Yeah, how do you receive something like that? By faith, you believe it. Whatever you bind. Who, me? Yeah, me. God gave us keys. We need to use those keys. If we don't use them, they won't profit us. So whatever we bind, whatever we declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever I loose, declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. My responsibility. God gives us the keys. We use the keys. If you don't use the keys, you don't benefit from the keys. All right? This is a no-brainer. I think the atheists get this more than some Christians. Matthew 17, verse 19 and 20. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked privately. Why did he ask privately? Because they're probably ashamed. Saying, why could we not drive out this demon? Wow. What did Jesus say? Did Jesus say, well, I didn't give you no power. How could you expect to drive out some demon when I never gave you the power? But they had the power. What did Jesus say here? Verse 20, he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. Wow. He didn't say, because I didn't give you the power. No. He said, because you got no faith. For truly I say to you, if, big if, conditional, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, not little faith, he just rebuked their little faith. I keep hearing this all the time. Faith as a seed is not little faith. Faith as a seed is a faith that grows like a seed. All right? So stop putting that on Facebook. I keep seeing that on Instagram, on Facebook. If you have faith as little as a seed, you can move mountains. That's not what he's saying, because he just rebuked them for their little faith. All right? Little faith will get you nowhere. Faith has to grow. If you have faith like a seed of grain of mustard seed, if you can say to this mountain, so your faith has to grow. Matthew 21:21. Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. So there's a possibility of doubting. So where's God's sovereignty in that? Where is it? There is none. It's up to us. It's up to us to believe. It's up to you to have, if you want little faith, you can have little faith. You want doubt, you can doubt, or you can believe. It's up to you. And do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, if you say to this mountain, not God, don't ask God to speak to the mountain. He told you to speak to the mountain. Don't ask God to cast out some demon. He gave you the power to cast out the demon. The Gospel of Mark. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If, Mark 11:23, truly I tell you, whoever, don't matter who, male, female, children, whoever, says to this mountain, you gotta speak to the mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart. Does not doubt at all in his heart. You got to get rid of the doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. If you don't believe what you're saying will take place, it won't be done for you. God gave me this word years ago. Oh my goodness. I remember where I was downstairs. He said, the day you believe in your heart what you're saying with your mouth, you'll be operating out of Mark 11:23. See? That's the kind of God I serve. He corrects you. That's where the rubber meets the road. God is honest with me. I didn't believe. And there's some things I'm still saying I'm still not fully convinced of yet. But I'm still saying it because I'm sowing it. All right? Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe shall not be saved. Is that up to God? No, it's up to man. Back to man, right? Remember back in the garden? Man. We put the blame on man. Gospel of Luke. Luke 6:47. For everyone or whosoever who comes to me and listens to my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. So it's not only good enough to come to him, that's good, come to Jesus, but also you got to listen to him. And it's not good enough just to listen to him, you got to do what he tells you. Where's God's sovereignty in that? It's not. I remember the Lord told me this years ago. I allow what you allow, Pierre. I allow what you allow. God allows a lot of things because we allow it. He has no choice. He gave us free will. Luke 9:23. Jesus said to all, not to some, to all. So much for limited atonement. Hogwash, heresy, false doctrine that Jesus only died for some. No, he died for all. Said to all, if any person, he said to all, but if any person. So let's say you got 1,000 people there. Let's say you got 100,000 people there. Let's say you got 1,000,000 people there. And God, Jesus said, if there's one person, he wants them all. But he said, if there's at least one, will come after me. Not good enough to go after Jesus. He says, let that person deny himself. Oh my goodness, people don't, what? You're telling me I gotta go to this Jesus and that I gotta deny myself? Yeah, that's the best part of it. Let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests. Oh, I love the Amplified. Refuse and give up himself. Wow, it's like what's left? Jesus, that's all you need. Oh, he's not done. Take up his cross. So deny yourself, okay? So people say, okay, Jesus, I deny myself. Okay, Jesus comes. Take up your cross. What? Daily. Not just once in a while. And follow me. So once you've taken up your cross, then you gotta follow him. Cleave steadfastly to him. Conform wholly to his example. Yeah. See the progression? First of all, I start to all, but didn't stop there. Luke 12:8. This is the way I read the word now. I've been reading the word like this for years. Luke 12:8. Jesus says this, and I tell you, whoever declares openly and confesses that he is my worshiper and acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will declare and confess and acknowledge him before the angels of God. Whoever, not just a select few, whoever Luke 14:27. Whoever does not persevere and carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Pretty straightforward to me. Gospel of John. John 4, verse 14. Whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty anymore. See? Whoever. The whosoevers. John 11, verse 25, 26. Jesus said to her, I am myself the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me. Whoever. Whoever. Verse 26. And whoever continues to live and believe in me shall never die. Whoever, but continues, present tense. Whoever continues, not just once a week, not just once a month, not just once a year, every day, every day. Do you eat every day? Do you get some rest every day? Do you wash every day? Do you brush your teeth every day? Do you breathe every day? Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with Jesus. It's every day. John 14:12. I assure you, Jesus said this, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone, whosoever, steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. I hear Christians quoting this all the time. You know what? Don't work for them. You know why? Because they're not steadfastly believing in him. They think they are, but they're not. If you're saying that you're steadfastly believing in him and you're not seeing the latter part of this verse, you're making Jesus to be a liar. Yeah? He's not the liar. God says he's not a man that he should lie. There you go, word. There's the word man again. Man's a liar, not God. Of course, the devil, the father lies. He's the biggest liar of all. The book of Acts. The book of Acts. Acts 2:21. And it shall be that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So where is God's sovereignty in that? Romans 10, 11, 12, 13. The scripture says, no man, anthropos, men and women, who believes in him will ever be put to shame. 12. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all. He generously bestows his riches upon all who call, conditional, who call upon his name. 13. For everyone or whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Yeah, and if you don't call upon his name, you won't be saved. Colossians. I love this one. I love them all. Colossians 1:23. And this he will do provided that you continue to stay with and in the faith. Yeah. Well grounded, settled, steadfast, not shifting or moving away from the hope of the glad tidings which you heard and which have been preached to every person under heaven. So provided that you continue, not shifting or moving away. Responsibility upon man, upon you. And when I say man, it's the word anthropos. Men and women and children. All right? 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 21. Therefore, if anyone, whosoever, cleanse himself. What? You mean God's not going to do it for you? No. Does God take a bath for you? Does God take a shower for you? Does he brush your teeth for you? No. Whoever cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. But going back to what he said, if, conditional, if, Hebrews, Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect and refuse to pay attention to such a great salvation as is now offered to us, letting it drift past us forever? See? If we neglect, if we, man, ownership is on you and me. Hebrews 3, verse 6 and 7. But Christ was faithful over his own house as a son, and it is we who are of his house if we hold fast. If we hold fast and firm to the end. Conditional. 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, if. I hope after this teaching that every time that little word if comes across, you, it will pop out and it'll bite you on the nose. Because that little word if is everywhere in the Old and the New Testament alike. Verse 14. For we have become fellows with Christ and share in all he has for us if only we hold fast our first newborn confidence and original assured expectation, which we are firm and unshaken to the end. Conditional. 15. Then while it is still called today, if you would hear his voice, don't harden your voice. Don't harden your heart to his voice. If you hear his voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your heart. There it is. As in the rebellion, when the people provoked and irritated and embittered God against them. Israelites, back in the wilderness, as an example, from the epistle warnings. Hebrews 4:2. For indeed we have had the glad tidings proclaimed to us just as truly as they did. But, there's always a but, the message they heard did not benefit them. Really? Wow. Must have been God's fault. Yeah, let's blame God. Back to Adam, right? This woman you gave me. What did God do? Put the blame on the serpent, put the blame on Eve, then he put the blame twice on Adam. Did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith, meaning they did not believe what God had given them. They didn't believe it. So it didn't profit them. Didn't benefit them. Hebrews 12:25. See to it that you, man, do not reject him, Jesus, or refuse to listen to and heed to him who is speaking to you. For if they, the Israelites, did not escape when they refused to listen and heed him who warned and divinely instructed them on earth, how much less shall we escape? How much less shall we escape if we reject and turn our backs on him who cautions and admonishes us from heaven? 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 8, 9, 10. For if these things are yours and abound, then you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Conditional. 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. He's talking to believers. He's talking to New Testament saints. Even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. I would say, God alone knows the exact number, but I would say over 90% of Christians worldwide stumble on a daily basis. Yeah, but the Bible just said here, I don't need to stumble. I remember I saw that years ago. Yeah, people using all kinds of excuses for their stumbling. No excuses. 1 John, we're getting to the end. This was actually a little bit longer than what I thought, but it's good. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And this is how we may discern that we are coming to know him. If we keep his teachings, if we practice his teachings, his precepts, his commandments, if we keep them, keep something. How do you keep something? You hold fast to it. You hold on to it. You don't let it go. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 and 6. Whosoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whosoever. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Whosoever. Not just a select few. No. 9. Whosoever. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whosoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. 15. Whoever hates his brother, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 4:15. Anyone, whosoever, who confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Whosoever's. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege, the boldness which we have in him, that if we ask anything, wow, if we ask anything, a lot of believers stop there. No, keep reading. If we ask anything according to his will, well, I don't like that part. That's too bad. That's your problem. I like it. I like it because it straightens out my asking. It straightens it out. It drives me to spend more time with him, to find out what I can ask him. That's what I did years ago. Yeah, he told me what I can ask him. Yeah. He listens and he hears us. Last page, believe it or not, page 12, last page. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And if anyone's, whosoever, if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, this is sad. This is nothing to be. This is no laughing matter. He was hurled, or they were hurled, into the lake of fire. Imagine that, showing up on that day, and your name is not written in the book of life. You think you're going to be able to argue with God? You think you're going to be able to reason with him? You think you're going to be able to bring your tithes and your offerings and your sacrifices and your works so that he can add you into his book of life? No. This is the time to have your name written in the Lamb's book of life. And there's a verse in Revelation 2 where their names were blotted, meaning the name had been written. So don't come and tell me that you cannot walk away from your salvation. Don't come and tell me that you cannot walk away from God. You've got the choice to get as close to him as you want and to walk away as far from him as you want. It's up to you. Back to the garden. The day you eat this tree, you'll die. Meaning, don't eat the tree. You don't have to eat this tree. Did God tempt Adam? No. James says, God don't tempt no man, nor can he be tempted with sin. God gave Adam a choice, and he gives us a choice. Be blessed.